We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew, coming to the last section of Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 12, 38 to 50. Now, this chapter has a number of sayings and interactions of the Lord Jesus, particularly with the religious authorities who are opposing him and misrepresenting him and accusing them. And that continues in this passage. You remember in the previous passage, they were ascribing the work that he did by the Holy Spirit to Satan. And Jesus called that the sin against the Holy Spirit. It so hardens them beyond salvation. But he continues in verse 38, and he says, they come to him and they say, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." They want Jesus to give them some sign to prove his claims. Now, it's interesting that the Lord does not gratify them. Now, the Lord Jesus was able to do signs. He could raise the dead. He could heal people. He could do miracles at the drop of a hat. We're told in the book of Hebrews, we see in the book of Acts, the apostles also, when spreading the gospel, were able to perform signs. What's interesting is that no time are signs given as a substitute for the ministry of the word and faith. Rather, it was a confirmation of the ministry of the word to faith, to the faith, the power, the healing, the signs are given to the faith of those who believe the word, never in place of faith for those who are hardened of heart. Jesus says the only sign you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Likewise, the Son of God will be in the ground for that amount of time. He says the sign you're going to get is when I rise from the dead. And it is interesting that among the early converts in the book of Acts were many from the priestly establishment. And it seems that the death, the crucifixion of Jesus, those who witnessed him, some of them reviled him. And then his resurrection did persuade some of them. But on the main, Jesus uses this as a condemnation. He goes on, and he's speaking of Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh, the most wicked city of that time. He preached repentance, and they believed. They repented. And so when you're being judged on the last day, the wicked men of Nineveh will rise up for your condemnation. Or the Queen of Sheba. She went and she saw the splendor of Solomon. That was enough for her to believe. Someone greater than Solomon is here, and yet you will not believe. The Queen of Sheba will rise up for your condemnation. He's condemning. Here is the thing. We are to believe the Word of God. We're to receive in faith Christ in his person and work as he's presented to us in the Word. Now, he makes an enigmatic statement in verses 43 to 45, remembering that earlier he had delivered a man from demons. He says, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest but finds none. It then comes back to the house from which it came," the person it was cast out of. "And if he finds the house empty, he goes back in it." What's Jesus saying there? He's saying that religion is not enough. The role of our church is not to help clean up people's lives, remove the influence of Satan. No, it's to give Christ. And Jesus says, hypothetically, if a demon's cast out, he goes around wherever he goes, he comes back, the person doesn't have the Holy Spirit in his life. The demon just comes back. In fact, he brings his buddies with him. The man's in worse shape before. We renounce Christless religion that leaves its converts in a worse condition. Then finally, the passage ends with Jesus' mother and his brothers, we're told. They're waiting to see him. By the way, it's an uncomfortable verse for the Roman Catholic Church and its view on the perpetual virginity of Mary. They say that it says cousins. It does not say cousins. It says brothers. That means she had other children than Jesus. Why would she be a perpetual virgin? She was a married woman. She was a mother. But there they are, and in his own family, but Jesus says, he says, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" He points to his disciples. He says, "These are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters." Now, Jesus wasn't being rude to Mary and his brothers, James and Jude, maybe some others. Now, he's making the point that he came to create the covenant people. And here it's people from all walks of life, every tribe, tongue. And he says, "I'm doing a new thing. I'm not propping up the old order, even the good parts of it. It's a new heavens, a new earth, a new humanity of the Holy Spirit. And this is the covenant people of which we have the privilege of being a part." Well, with all that said, let's give ear then to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 38 of Matthew 12. "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. And when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, if it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order, then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation." While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told them, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hands toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.